Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this ninth Sunday after Pentecost is found in the Old Testament book of Joel, reading in chapter 3. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will be seated to judge all the nations. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full and the vats overflow, because the nation's wickedness is so great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will be darkened, and the stars will stop shining. The Lord will roar from Zion and shout from Jerusalem. The sky and the earth will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. This is our text. Dear people of God, there is no one innocent in this world. For everyone born into this world is born sinful, born from sinful parents. Everyone in this world also has had the opportunity for salvation. When Noah got off of the ark with his three sons and their wives, all eight of those people knew and believed in the Lord, and they taught their children to do the same. Somewhere down the line, someone in those families said, I don't want the Lord anymore. I want to do my own thing. I want to worship my own God. And they doomed their children to generations of unbelief. But the Lord in his great mercy gave the world another chance. The Lord sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to suffer and to die upon the cross, to pay for the world's rebellion, and to offer salvation to everyone again. Who in the world has not seen a cross? It is literally everywhere. And yet, who wants to be seen on the side of the cross? For the cross and the people of Christ are ridiculed in this world as a thing for mindless morons. But one day, the Lord will say enough, and he will come and he will avenge his people and show all of his enemies just how wrong they were. One day, the Lord will roar from Zion. Now, the Lord can come in judgment anytime he wants to, and he does. All day, every day, all around the world, people die. And when people die, they have to meet their Maker and answer for their personal deeds. Each person comes to his own judgment at his end. But the Lord also promises that there will be a day when he will gather everyone for judgment. It's a day that believers dream about and pray for. For on that day, all the mockers will be silenced, and all the smart alecks will be quiet forever and ever. Now, we have an inner conflict with that day, because we want all people to be saved. We know what a terrible forever awaits those who reject Jesus as their Savior, and we don't want that for them. But if you have ever been mocked for your faith, you know what Joel is talking about. Lord, can you please come and put an end to all of your enemies who hate you and who mock me? And the Lord says, yeah, I know. Just be patient. I am coming. All those who hate me, all those who are violent, all those violators will get what's coming to them. Judgment Day is coming. Now, in Joel, Judgment day is described with two different pictures, and they're very different. The first one is a battle. Let the nations be roused, let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat. That is to say, you guys want to fight me, the Lord? Let's have at it. Line up your best forces in an appropriate battlefield, and let's go. On one side are all the enemies of the Lord together, a terrifyingly huge force. And on the other side, notice, it's no one. It's just the Lord. The Lord does not ask his angels to fight this battle for him. The Lord doesn't ask you to fight this battle for him. The Lord himself will fight the battle. He doesn't need your help. This is easy for him. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. One swoosh, and the battle is over. A sickle is a great curved knife at the end of a long pole that farmers used to use to cut down their grain. Think of a great harvester going through the field and one little stalk of wheat standing in its way. There is no battle, there's no fight, there's no resistance from that stalk of wheat. One swoosh, and it's all done. But then the harvest picture in Joel changes. It changes from cutting grain to picking grapes. It's the same harvest, just like the wheat was harvested by a great knife, so the grapes are cut off the vine with a knife. But then the grapes are thrown into a wine press, and the winemaker jumps into the press and he squashes those grapes until his feet are red with its juice. Again, it's not a struggle. The grapes are only there to be squashed. This battle, this cutting down, this squashing of the enemy is easy for the Lord. And that's why he's not in any great rush to do it. It won't be harder for him if he waits a while. The Lord just says, be patient. Know that I am coming and that I win. And now let's stop and think about this a little bit. Who exactly is in the vat? In the vat, the grapes ready to be squashed, well, those are those who line up against the Lord. Those are those who battle against him. Yeah, that's his enemies, but when you think about it, we all should be in that vat too. Multitudes in the valley of decision. Yeah, my sinful nature rails against the Lord and his church and his commandments also. We are not innocent of the world's rebellion against the Lord. We are just as guilty, and maybe more so, because we have been taught to know better. I complain against the Lord and how he does things. I question the Lord and how he runs my life and how expensive it is and how wearing his name is so difficult. I deserve to be thrown into that winepress of the Lord's wrath also. But the Lord is not just a fed up, angry, almighty judge. Notice here that the Lord roars from Zion. That's where you are. Zion is the Lord's church. It is the midst of his people. You are those, not who are any better than anybody else, but you are those that the Lord has chosen to be on his side. You are those who have been washed clean by this God's Son's holy blood and righteousness, because you have been washed clean in holy baptism. That voice that shakes the earth and the sky is the still small voice of your Savior. When you hear its familiar sound roar, it doesn't scare you. It cheers you. It comforts you because it's the voice of your Good Shepherd, the voice you know very well, a voice that cried out a long time ago, "It is finished." Like David and Goliath, the world's champion is humongous and is terrifying, but our champion is undefeatable. The Lord wins. Our champion is the refuge for his people. Jesus is a God to run to, not from. When you are accosted by your sin and guilt, when that ancient serpent, that old accuser, comes and accuses you of sin, even when it's true, you are guilty of those things that make you feel terrible. Even so, run to Jesus. Yes, you deserve to be thrown into the winepress. You deserve to be squashed, but the Lord Jesus has pulled you out of the winepress. He has washed you clean by his own holy blood and innocent sufferings and death, and he has given you his Holy Spirit, and he has given you faith to believe that even you are forgiven and saved and dearly loved and reserved for paradise. You are not a grape for squashing. You are not a stalk of wheat for cutting. You are not a lamb for slaughter. You are the holy, precious children of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, no one is innocent in this world. And that's why our justification is so wonderful. It doesn't come from inside of us. It comes from outside of us. God himself has declared us sinners to be holy in Jesus' blood and resurrection. You are chosen, dearly loved, forgiven, and saved in your champion and God, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we pray. Dear Lord, you have been very good to your church in these strange times. We exist in this wicked world yet, which is always out to destroy us. That is a simple but amazing truth. Thank you, and glory to your name alone. Your people live in peace under your protection, and we do not take these things for granted, but we thank you and give adoration to your saving name alone. Yet there are those among us who are sick or in pain. You know your people, Lord, and you love them. Heal them, bless them, give them strength, give them joy. We cry out to you and plead for your mercy. Do not turn your back on your dearly loved and expensively purchased people. We thank you, Lord, for each other, for the faith we share and the love that flows from you that unites us. Make us shine like the sun in this dark world for the benefit of believer and unbeliever alike. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we look forward to the end and the kingdom of your glory. Bless us until that day. We are your people. You are our God. And bless us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen.